Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
When it came to his faith, John did all the right things, or at least tried to. Maybe we know some people like that. From a very early age, he prayed often, read the scripture almost daily, went to church every single week. Not a bad habit to get into. Even when he left home for a fairly prestigious college, though he struggled at first, eventually he found a couple of friends, three to be exact, that he would get together with because they too wanted to do their best to live out their faith, or at least try to. They began to meet together a couple nights a week at first, just to read some scripture, pray together, do some things, and they soon discovered that they wanted to go a little deeper. And so these college students, decided that every day they would get up early, no small feat on a college campus, so that before class, they could read scripture and pray together and talk about their faith. They found a church in town that they could go and have communion at least once a week, and pretty soon, William, one of John's friends, invited him to join him as he went to a nearby prison to visit with some of the incarcerated folks there to get to know them a little bit, to bring a little cheer, and after they left, they decided that one of them would go at least once a week to see those prisoners. That spirit of service inside of them. They looked for other things that they might do. Soon they began to organize groups of college students to go and take meals to some poor families in town and visit with some of the elderly and even, you can't make this stuff up, teach orphan children how to read. And despite the fact that they got up early every day on a college campus, and that they held each other to remarkably high standards, somehow, almost miraculously, that little group began to grow, not just in depth, but in breadth. Not just in faith, but in numbers. That is, others began to join them. Not everyone, of course. There were those on that college campus that looked down their nose at that group and called them all sorts of names, my favorite being Bible moths. It's a very evocative image. But the name that stuck, of course, was Methodists. When John Wesley graduated from college, he wanted to keep doing the right thing by his faith. He desperately wanted to live a faithful life, so he joined the ordained ministry and even volunteered for missionary work in the Georgia colonies. He figured, what could be more faithful than missionary work, literally going out and making disciples of Jesus Christ? And yet, despite his zeal, despite his desperate wish to do the right thing, to do all the good he could, perhaps for the first time in his life, things didn't go like he hoped. By nearly every account, including his own, his time in the Georgia colonies was a complete and utter disaster. Starting with the trip there, he was on a ship somewhere across the Atlantic when a storm blew in and the ship was rocking and the mainsail split, and he said that the swells were so high that it felt as though they were already being swallowed up by the deep. And like everyone else on the ship, he thought for sure he was about to bite it. He was a goner. And so, just like you would, he began to cry and scream and tear at his hair and gnash his teeth. And in the midst of his freak out, he looks over and he sees a group of Moravians quietly praying and singing. And it struck him that they're quietly praying and singing while he is freaking out over here, and he thought they have something that he doesn't. And so, spoiler, he doesn't die in that moment. And as he gets out of the moment, he wants to know what it is that they have. And he begins to convince himself that they definitely have some kind of assurance that he doesn't. And so as that outward storm subsided, an inward storm began for John Wesley. It began to churn inside his gut. And he desperately began to search for some kind of assurance, for something in him that would make him feel like he had it figured out, like he knew for sure that he had God's favor, only he couldn't seem to find it. And so, as he did with every other moment in his life, he decided that he would just try harder. He began to get up earlier, began to study harder, to pray longer, all in the hope that he might find that inward assurance that God's favor would be his. When he reached the Georgia colonies, he began to have these notions of what righteousness actually looked like, and he went further than he had ever gone before, all the way to developing erroneous notions of things like the celibacy of the priesthood. Yikes. Which meant that when he met Miss Sophia Hockey and fell in love, rather than giving himself the chance out of some misguided notion that it was the most faithful thing to do, he refused to propose. And then when she later had the audacity to marry someone else who would propose, he denied her communion and was run out of town. He spent the next year in a kind of fervent, desperate search for anything that would let him know that he had God's favor, anything that would let him know he was enough. He began to get up even earlier to visit the poor, the sick, the imprisoned every single day. He would pray as hard as he could. He would fast for longer, and he read more scripture than he had ever read in the past. He did all the good he could by all the means he could, and yet, it never seemed to be enough. Maybe some of us know the feeling. Maybe some of us have been there. Maybe some of us are there. Wanting to do what is right, checking all of the right boxes, doing the classes that we're supposed to take, trying to get the grades we're supposed to get, trying to do the job we're supposed to do, trying to volunteer enough, give enough, be who God calls us to be, and yet still feeling somewhere inside that it is not enough. John Wesley's diary in that time is filled with angst and fear and worry that despite ardently wanting to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ, despite trying to do all of the good he could by all the means he could and all the ways he could, somehow it was still not enough to earn God's favor. And it may have been in that moment the end of the Methodist movement had it not been for an invitation. On May 24th, 1738, John Wesley received an invitation from the Moravians to come to a society meeting, a Bible study, if you will. It's hard to know what was different about that night than any other night. But that's the way of life, isn't it? We can do the same thing over and over again, 1,000 times before, but this one moment, something changes. John Wesley must have attended thousands of Bible studies in his life. He must have read the book of Romans hundreds of times. He probably even had heard the commentary on the book of Romans by Martin Luther. And yet there was something about that evening, something about that moment. The Spirit was at work in some way, and it just hit him in a new way. He wrote in his journal that just before 9:15, as he was listening to the preface on the book of Romans by Martin Luther, and he heard him speak about the changes that God works in one's heart when they come to understand who Christ is, that he felt his heart strangely warmed. That he suddenly realized he did believe in Christ. He did trust in Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. He trusted that Christ was there for him, even him, that whatever sin he might have had, it is gone. He felt his heart strangely warmed. Have you ever had a moment like that? He wrote in his journal that in that moment he went from faith in faith to faith itself. He came to understand what it takes some of us our whole lives to figure out, that the real gift of faith, the real promise of faith, the real hope of faith in Jesus Christ is simply this: grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. See, the gift of grace is ours. It is not a prize to be won. It is a gift to be received. We don't earn it. If we had to earn it, none of us would actually do it. No, that is the scandal and the beauty of it. It is for all, for those who sleep in and those who get up early. It is for all, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, and everyone beyond and between. It is for you, it is for me, it is for all of us. Don't you see? That's the scandal. Grace is that promise. That there is nothing you can do or say to lose the love of God. Nothing. So if you are sitting out there as one of those people who has ever wondered, or even is wondering this morning, am I enough? The answer is yes. Not because of the grades you get or the sacrifices you make, or the money you give, or the number of times you made it to the gym. You are enough because of who you are, not what you do. The grace of God made known in Jesus Christ, the freedom to which Christ frees us, is a gift to be received, not a prize to be won. And once we come to understand that we are enough, that you are enough, and let me remind you, you are enough, you are enough, you are enough, you are enough. Once we come to understand that, suddenly the world opens itself up to us. When we love as God first loved us, suddenly love doesn't become a means to an end. It becomes an end in and of itself. Don't you see? We don't have our vision statement as a church to do more good so that we can earn some reward in the end. We know. No, we do that. We ask each other to do more good because what else can we do? Because once we know the gift of God's grace, a gift which is freely given to each and every one of us, what else could we do? What better response to the gift of life than to live? And the only way to live is through love. We love because God first loved us, and God loves without condition. When we're able to love without condition, without footnote, without asterisk, we suddenly find ourselves opened to life, not at death, but right now. And then we go out and we share it. We do more good. John Wesley didn't stop caring for the poor, the sick, the imprisoned on May 24th, 1738. He didn't stop reading his scripture or praying or fasting. We have stories of him as 80 in his 80s, treading through the waist-high frozen water of London just so that he could continue to care for the people around him. No, the difference is that he continued to do all the good he could by all the means he could and all the ways he could and all the places he could and all the times he could to all the people he could so long as ever he could after that moment, not to earn God's grace, but because of it. And in that moment, he inherited the world as his parish. The good news, friends, is that we can too. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.